Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we are live. This is our first live edition in 2015, and we're so excited to be with you today, and we're so excited about being with you for this entire year, 2015. We have so many wonderful things we believe that God is going to be doing through this outreach, and we can't wait to be a part of all of those with you, our listeners. So thank you for being a part of the Basic Gospel broadcast, being a part of the Basic Gospel Nation, so to speak. But we invite your calls right now, 1-844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. If you have something on your mind that you would like to discuss today on Basic Gospel, we would love to hear from you right now. Again, the phone lines are wide open. Go ahead and call us, 844-322-2742. Richard, interesting article. You and I were talking about this earlier today. Newsweek, its first issue for the year is entitled The Bible. And a lot of these magazines, they normally every year have one issue dedicated to either Jesus or the Bible.
Yep.
And, they talk about, quote, the latest findings, and they try to really debunk Christianity, or to put it in a different light, or to cast a new light on the beliefs of Christians the world over. Well, this particular article is a long article, but it really is just a rehash of old stuff. I mean, I didn't see anything new that this guy brought to the table except some statistical analysis, and I thought that was pretty interesting. I want to share that today. He quoted a couple of polls that were conducted in the last 4 or 5 years. The first one was in 2010, and that was conducted by Pew Research. And in that, here's what was found out, that evangelicals, and that's a group, a set that identifies as evangelicals, that is a little different than just self-identified Christians. It's kind of a subset of that Christian group. They said that this poll found that evangelicals ranked only a smidgen higher than atheists in familiarity with the New Testament and Jesus' teachings. Just a smidgen higher. Now, I don't know what that smidgen is, but it's just a smidgen. And I found that extremely interesting.
Yes, and painful.
Yes, very, very painful. We went to Israel a number of years ago, and our tour guide was a man named Abraham. And Abraham, you know, once you meet him, you just fall in love with him. He is passionate. He is energetic. He's enthusiastic. He's just one of the most likable men on the planet. And he is a believer in God. He knows God exists. He's Jewish. He's following the Jewish way of life, but he does not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But this guy has read the New Testament. Yes. I mean, he has read it and reread it and then read it again. I think he told me when we were there that he's read the New Testament almost 2,000 times. Well, the first time I was with Abraham, I was with a group of pastors. And we went to Mount Carmel, which is up in northern Israel, and that's where Elijah had that confrontation with the prophets of Baal. It's an incredible story. And the pastor, the lead pastor, was kind of sharing what was happening, and Abraham jumped in and said, "Pastor, I don't mean to jump in, but you've got it all wrong. Here's how it laid out. Read your Bible. Read your Bible."
Yeah.
And this guy went back and read the story out of the Word of God. He said, "My goodness, Abraham has it right." And then we went to another place, and this was a New Testament story right there in old Jerusalem. And the guy was explaining exactly what happened, and Abraham jumped in again and said, "Please, read your Bible. That's not the timeline. This is what happened. He just went boom, 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 and sure enough, he had it spot on. So I just found that kind of interesting that, you know, here Abraham, a unbeliever, knows the New Testament better than we, the believers, did,
yes,
at least on that particular trip. And that's what this poll is telling us, mm-hmm, that evangelicals just know about the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus just a smidgen more than what the atheists know about it. And I think the atheists probably might have some motivation to know what we believe, and so they may get into the Word of God more than
we do,
more than most. So that's of interest. And again, this is Basic Gospel. We're talking about the most recent article in Newsweek, the latest issue, the January 2nd issue, entitled "The Bible." We're talking about an article in there, that's entitled "The Bible So Misunderstood It's a Sin." And here are some statistics about that, or that we just went over some statistics. But this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We welcome your call on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742, 844-32-BASIC. If you have a question, if you want to join the conversation about this particular article, we would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. The next poll that he quotes in this particular article is from the Barna Group. And George Barna is a believer. He's written, mm-hmm, a number of books. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He co-authored a book with one of our good friends, Frank Viola, but he was quoted in this as well. And he said that in a poll that he did in 2012, that evangelicals accepted the attitudes and beliefs of the Pharisees more than they accepted the teachings of Jesus. So as he interviewed different people and asked different questions and conducted this research, what emerged in his findings is that believers, quote, Christians today, align themselves more with the Pharisees than they do with Jesus in their beliefs, their attitudes, their understandings. That is incredibly sad to me. Boy, Jesus had very strong words about the Pharisees. Read Matthew 23, and you will see just passage after passage saying, "Woe to you, woe to you." Who was he saying that to? The Pharisees,
yes,
the hypocrites of the day. He didn't have very kind words for the Pharisees. He made some really strong judgments against their attitudes and against their self-righteousness. And why did he do that? Because it was their self-righteousness that was going to keep them blinded to the reality of Christ and to the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that would come to them through faith in Jesus as Messiah. So today, evangelicals are aligning themselves with the attitudes and beliefs of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. Man, it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
And it explains why articles like this end up being so popular.
Yes, indeed.
Because we Christians, when we're sloppy Christians, we pay no attention to what the Bible teaches, what Jesus said, what he's accomplished. We're our own worst enemies, and we're a terrible advertisement for a belief in Jesus Christ.
Yes, we are.
And it
yes,
shouldn't
we
be
are.
That way.
Yeah. Here's what George Gallup Jr. wrote after he conducted his poll. He said, "Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it." Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I think it's true. I think it really is true. We have Bibles. We put them on our shelves. We lay them out
on our
coffee tables, but they're dusty. They creak when you open them up. But it's time for us believers to really take a deep dive into the Word of God and to see what it actually says. There's so many times that we just throw out stuff and we think it's in the Bible when it's not in the Bible, such as God helps those who help themselves. Can't tell you how many people believe that's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. That's not a statement God would ever make. Why? Because God knows we can't help ourselves. He knows we need grace, that we need mercy, that we need forgiveness, that we need the very life of Christ to invade our human soul so that we can be the creation that God actually intended us to be. We need grace. We need mercy. So God would never say, God helps those who help themselves. Yet, so many believers, so many Americans think it's somewhere in the Word of God. It's time to open up these scriptures, take a deep dive, and find out exactly
what the point of an article like this shouldn't be for believers to pick up stones and start throwing rocks at Newsweek magazine. It should be, take a look at yourself and say, Lord, am I being honest about this? You know, and you know, there are issues that we have with this article. I mean, we'll talk about them more later on. But, you know, to the extent that what he is representing, the author of this article is representing, is true about Christians, we need to clean up our own house. We need to know what we believe. We need to know who Jesus is and live accordingly.
And that's part of the reason we exist as a ministry,
exactly
Basic Gospel, to point people to actually what this gospel message is and how it applies today living. Hearing the message, and that means getting into the Bible, reading it, seeing what it actually says, coming to the point of saying, do we really believe what it's saying? That's where faith comes in. That's the believing aspect of this whole discipleship process that God is trying to engage us in and call us to, and then it's the living out. Once I've become fully persuaded that, for example, my sins have been forgiven, or that Jesus truly is God and that he is alive living in me, how am I going to live that out in day-to-day life? That's what this program is all about. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today. 844-322-2742 is the number. Go ahead and call us right now. We would love to hear from you. Let's start today in Victoria, Texas, and talk to Barry listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Barry. Barry, you're on the air. Well, we're going to put Barry on hold. Obviously, we're having some issues with his phone. Hopefully, we can get back with him in a few minutes. 844-322-2742 is the number. Go ahead and call right now. We would love to hear from you. One of the things that, you know, this article, you know, is about, there's nothing really new in it. It's just a bunch of rehashed stuff that's been circulating for a number of years. But if you're not, you know, sure of your salvation, you're not sure of the Bible, and you haven't actually read what the Bible says, you're going to read an article like this, and it's going to confuse you. You're going to start to question whether or not the Bible is really true, whether or not we can really believe what it says. So I think points out the importance of why we do need to know why we believe what we believe. I know for me, and probably you, Richard, I grew up in a Methodist church in Marietta, Georgia, First United Church in Marietta, Georgia. Wonderful growing up experience. My grandmother, you know, attended there. My mom and dad attended there. We, you know, as a family went there, and I have a sister that still goes there. And you know, every once in a while, I'll go back and visit. Mm-hmm. Sang in the choir, and if anybody has heard me sing, you know, that's they probably doubt that. But you know, at one time I could actually sing, I think when I was in first grade, and then that all changed in seventh grade. But had a wonderful experience there. But we went to Sunday school class, and we had you know, just some curriculum that we went through, and we went through a confirmation class, and you know, I learned kind of the doctrines of the Methodist Church, and said I believe those, and was, you know, confirmed as a member of the church. And then every Sunday we would recite the Apostles' Creed. This is what we believe. Did I ever take a look at that Apostles' Creed and see if it lined up with the Word of God? Absolutely not. This is what we say every week. I memorized it, and so that's what I believed. And I think there are so many people like that. You just kind of go to a church and you ask the pastor or ask the leadership, tell me what to believe. Tell me what we believe. We adopt that and never give it a second thought. It's time for us to give it a second thought.
Yeah.
Dive into the Word of God.
There are way too many pastors these days who apologize for teaching the Word of God. You know, oh, this is going to be a hard teaching. You know, I'll get over it as fast as I can so we can go back to the light, feel-good stuff. And nothing can be further from the truth. People really are craving the Word of God explained in a way that is clear and applicable. Hear it, live it. You know, hear it, believe it, live it. There's nothing to be afraid of in teaching the Word of God.
Yeah, you were so right on that. Well, we're going to try. Well, we're going to wait here in just a second and go to Barry. But if you have a question that you would like to ask on today's program, we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Well, Barry, let's try this again. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
And to you as well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks, bro. Y'all are such a blessing. I appreciate y'all. I had a question. I heard a pastor say one time that no one loved the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on this earth. And I was talking to a friend earlier. He said, well, someone did love him, like talks about John loving him. But can you expound on that?
Well, I don't know exactly, you know, what the pastor was trying to communicate. You know, certainly Mary loved him and
yes.
Loved him his whole life. Certainly the women that went to take care of his body loved him. I think Peter loved him and his disciples loved him. I think a lot of people in Israel were intrigued by him, fascinated by him. Mesmerized by him, but I think they were cautious about him. But I think there was a group of people that loved him simply because that Jesus loved them first. And I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't come into this world to be loved. He came into this world to love. And that's what he wanted to deliver to us so that we could in turn love him back. And anyone today who responds to Jesus, to his love as demonstrated through his death, burial, and resurrection, anyone who responds to that love by faith is showing their love back to him. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us first.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key thing. We're trying to muster up love for God when he's saying, just let me love you. And that love will come.
Amen. Yes, sir. That clears it up. I don't know if they're just talking about the phileo love, or you know, I guess he said something about when the Holy Spirit came. That's when we really knew true love, and that Jesus could live inside of us. Then is maybe that's what he was talking about. But
well, I think there's some good points with that, Barry. I mean, you know, the disciples were doing the best they could. But they certainly didn't understand Jesus's mission. You know, when Jesus talked about the fact that he was going to Jerusalem, that he was going to be handed over to leaders, he was going to be tried, he was going to be crucified, he was going to be buried, and on the third day he was going to come back to life. They didn't have a clue as to what Jesus was communicating to them. And Peter said, no, that's not going to happen.
Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. So they didn't fully understand everything. And all of that became clear after the Holy Spirit was given. Mm-hmm. So that was significant in the life of those disciples. And it's significant to us today as well. But I think there was, you know, their hearts were certainly starting to respond to Jesus, but it wasn't something that they were doing. It was in response to what Jesus was doing, the love that he was showing to them.
Yes. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, thank you, Barry.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I was going to say about what you're talking about the Word. It's just amazing if you just stay in that Word and, you know, just stick with it, how it'll just over the years it'll continue. Just the Lord still minister to you through the Word. It is amazing. You can't read it enough.
It is. And you, what what I think is so amazing about the Word is that you can read a passage and you can memorize it and you can understand it. And it, and you know, years ago it had this application for you, and then you know, right now you go back and reread it, and it's
brand new.
It's brand new. It's fresh. It's alive. And that's just the power of the Word of God.
Yes. Amen. All right, guys. Hey, love you all. Y'all have a blessed new year.
Well, thank you, Barry. We sure appreciate that. Look forward to all that God's going to do in 2015.
Amen.
For some reason, I just think this is going to be a fantastic year.
Yes. Hold on.
That's right. Man, fasten that seatbelt. Get ready for the ride of your life.
Amen. All right, Barry. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Wonderful call. Well,
yes.
If you have something on your mind, we've got just a few minutes left at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742.
Yeah, Bob, if I could play off of something Barry's talking about there, part of the issue for this article, I think, part of the motivation, is that this author has observed many, many judgmental Christians. People who call themselves Christians, who are calling names and throwing bricks and all of this kind of stuff. And the fact is, if you study the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to bring that message to fruition in your own life, the judgmentalism goes away. It doesn't mean you just say, okay, everything's okay. It means that you stop reacting in fear when you see something you don't agree with. You actually ask an intelligent question. You find out, well, Lord, you know, how do I minister in this situation? What words can I say rather than just throwing people under a bus? And that's the beauty of this Christian life, is that we really do change from the inside out. It has a substantive impact on the people who take it seriously.
Yeah. Now, to follow up with that, how does that happen? And I think that gets right back to the message of the Bible. This isn't a rule book to follow. This isn't a guide for business success or a political document. It's none of those things. It's God's testimony about his son. God wants us to know Jesus. Why? Because in Jesus we have new life, we have new forgiveness, we have new hope, we have everything that God desires for us.
Yeah.
It's not found out there in the world. Sin and death is out there in the world. Life is found in Jesus. And that's what this book is all about. We try to make it way too many things.
Mm-hmm.
We try to make it a science book. It's not a science book. But science, if it follows the evidence, is going to point people to the reality of God's existence.
Yes.
And once a person's there, they're going to say, how can we know this God? Well, that's where the Bible comes in. Mm-hmm. The only way that we can know to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. He truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. So this Bible is a book about Jesus. And the judgmentalism goes away when we encounter the love of Christ,
yes,
when we encounter the grace of Christ, when we encounter the mercy of Christ, because we know in Christ that everything that was wrong about us gets fixed. We can't stand in his presence and claim righteousness. We can't stand in his presence and say, look how good I am. We stand in his presence and we fall to our knees and we cling to him and cry and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And in that heartfelt gratitude, that faith that pours out in love to Jesus Christ, it washes away everything else.
Yes.
That's the good news of this Word of God, this gospel message. If you are struggling in your life today, I pray that you will take a fresh look at Jesus Christ, that you will go into the Word of God with a humble heart, a dependent heart, trusting that God will teach you about Jesus, about his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, this new covenant that he's called us to live in, the hope that he brings. Your life will never be the same. Well, thank you for joining us on this edition of Basic Gospel. We look forward to a fresh edition on Monday. Be sure to join us then. Until that time, God bless you and have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday.